I appreciate that song because I need that consolation today. He's all I need. We need the Lord's help this morning. Except the Lord build a house, they're going to build it in vain. Except the Lord keep a city, the watchman, he's going to wake in vain. We need the help of the Lord this morning. I'd like for us to start with a verse in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. You know, I can look at that and say the sinner, he really needs to fear God. You know what? I need to fear God today. Think of the song that says, O soul, be afraid. Thou shalt reckon with God. Another verse says, O soul, be afraid. In His presence thou art. I can sing that song and say that was a good song written for the sinner. You know what? I need to have a fear of God on my heart, realizing that I'm always in His presence. I am going to reckon with God. The day is coming that I'm going to stand before that great white throne, from whose face the heaven and earth wants to flee away. America, as we look at America today, it's really fast losing the fear of God. If you are my age, you'll remember there was a time when America had a great respect for God. Blue laws. You heard of blue laws? A respect for holy things. You could hardly go shopping on a Sunday. You could hardly find a gas station to get gas because there was such a respect in America for God. The Bible, there was a time when the Bible was respected by sinner as well as by Christian. Maybe the sinner was not living by what it said, but he had a respect for what it said. Today, how times have changed. Prayer in schools for many years has not been permitted. This past year in October in Oklahoma, it was put out a decree by the judge said, the Ten Commandments that you have posted on the Capitol lawn in Oklahoma City will be removed by a certain day in October. And they had to have it removed. We can say, you know, what does that really even matter? Now, the leaders of our country are trying to figure out, we've got some issues that we're dealing with. We cannot figure out how to solve them. We have school shootings, children shooting children. We never used to have that before, and we got that problem now. And we've got to figure out how to deal with it. Oh, we've got it figured out. If we could just ban the assault rifle, we've got this problem solved. No, the problem's still with us because God gave a commandment in one of those Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. And you know what? It was intended to be there for society, for us to have boundaries in our life. Those laws that God intended to be a protection for each of us, we've discarded as a nation. And there'll be a price to pay. Psalms 11 and 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what's the righteous going to do? America had the favor of God on it for many, many years because there was a respect for who God was. The fear of the Lord, we need to have it. I can say, you know, America needs to have it. I find for myself, I need to have it more. When Jesus looked over Jerusalem, he wept. He said, if you had only known what I had in store for you. And now it's too late. I wonder, is he weeping over America today? And he's got the call out still to America, as he did to his people, the children of Israel. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face. But there's one more thing that's got to be done. Turn from their wicked ways. I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. America today needs to be healed. It'll only happen when we do the first part of this. If my people, which are called by my name, I look at the blessings that has been on America. Why is it that we have to guard our borders so much? Because people desire to live in America. It was blessed of God for many years. There was something that we've always considered to be great in America, freedom of speech. That we would be able to meet together today and worship the Lord and have that opportunity, have that freedom. I believe that freedom of speech went much farther than our founding fathers ever intended it to go. Because today, you can talk against the president if you want to. You can talk against the government if you want to. You can take the flag and burn it out in public if you want to. It's considered a freedom of speech. I'm expressing what I'm thinking. You know, there was a time in the history of our world where a person could die if they didn't have reverence for a king. You remember when Joseph was in prison and the two men came in, the butler and the baker? The baker lost his life. You remember when Queen Esther, when her uncle is saying, I need you to go into the king. I need you to talk to him. We need help. And she says this, whosoever, either man or woman, shall come to the king in the inner court, who is not called, shall be put to death, except that the king would hold out the royal scepter. We have had freedoms in America for so long that you can say what you want to do. You don't have to have a respect for authority if you don't want to. To where we hardly can imagine this happening, that the queen herself cannot come before her husband. She'll lose her life if he doesn't hold out the royal scepter. A reverence for God. That was just a king. We need to have a reverence for God. There was a time in America where people didn't even have to lock their doors at home. Just go off and leave them unlocked. Because my neighbor might need to come in and get something, and it's okay. There was a time when chapels did not need to be locked. If you want to stop by and pray, just open up the door and come on in and pray. It's open at any time. How times have changed. Just in the last few years, in Dallas, we heard Dallas congregation, somebody came and stole air conditioners from the congregation. And I thought, that's terrible. We live up in Guthrie. I said, that's terrible. Dallas must be some bad place down there that people would come to a church and steal their air conditioner. And you know what? It wasn't about 3 weeks, a month later, somebody came through Guthrie and stole four of ours. Came through and they laid them out. All they wanted was the coil from it because that has the most value. And they laid them out like an assembly line. All the fans are laid just perfect if you want to put them together if you had a coil, but it's gone. And I called the scrapyard and I said, tell me, four of them are gone. They're this size air conditioner. What could you have gotten? What would they have gotten? Said about $200. And it cost us $4,000 to replace them. You know, we've lost, America has lost fear of God. When you can go take something from a church, you lost the fear of God on your heart. For us today, I need to have the fear of God. And I say I do, but I want to tell you I need to have it more. I need to be real careful about getting casual about holy things. There's another verse that I want to look at. Hebrews 12 and 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. His desire is to consume the dross in my life, to save me from sin. Should I choose otherwise, it'll be a consuming fire where I'll be lost forever. That I would serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I'd like to go to another verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4 and 18. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? But you know, we say, wait a minute. There's churches all over this land that are teaching today God loves us. He will overlook so much in our life. In fact, that's why he died, to take care of all those sins that I'm committing every day. If judgment begins at the house of God, what's going to be the end of those that are not living right? Said there's going to be many that's going to say in that day, the last day, the day when you won't be able to do any correction about changes that need to be done. In that day, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? There's churches all over the land today that will be saying that. And he says, I never knew you. I need the fear of God on my heart. That he would be able to deal with my soul of changes that I need to make in my life. Because the day is coming that I'm going to stand before the Almighty God. I need to have a picture of who God is. Yes, God is a God of love. There's a verse that tells me, behold the goodness and the severity of God. I would love to only be able to dwell on the goodness and that be all there is to God. But there is also severity. When God spoke to Adam and Eve, and when he told them of all the trees in the garden, you can freely eat, he made it clear enough that they understood. It's not possible for you to sin without understanding it. It's to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God would not have held Eve accountable for eating of that tree if he had not made it very clear to her first, don't do it. Don't touch it, lest you die. I love to say that God is an unchanging God. He healed back in the Bible and he can heal me today. That's true. That same God demands the same reverence and respect from me today as he required from Adam and Eve. When God told Joshua, here's what I want y'all to do to be able to take the city of Jericho. Here is the procedure. When they do it exactly as he said, the victory came. When they marched around at one time every day, quietly, not saying a word. It said that whole group did exactly what he said, and the victory came. There was one other thing that was said They had been in the wilderness for so many years. There had been no income. Now they're coming to a city that has some things. It would sure be nice to build back my stock that I have lost, depleted. And God says on this first one, the only thing that's going to be taken is what can be given into the service of the Lord. Don't take anything for yourself. That was one huge group of people. And there was only one that said he took of the accursed thing. It was Achan. Looks like God would have done the averages. You know, when I was in school and we would, as a class, take a test and we all did so terrible, they would say, okay, we're going to grade on a curve. We're going to just take the best one out of all of them and grade it from there instead of you had to make 100%. Otherwise, none of you would have made it. God doesn't grade on a curve. God says, here's what I want from you. Looks like God could have said, you know what, one person out of all these thousands of children of Israel that did it right, I'll overlook that. The children of Israel suffered. There were people that died when they went to Ai, and God didn't help them, and they come running back. We're serving an unchanging God. He still has not changed today. Is God interested in details? Was he interested in details in the Old Testament? This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about this tabernacle. Was God interested in details about the tabernacle? I mean, he spelled it out specifically. Each little thing that this person was to do, and nobody else is to do that. Aaron had a service that nobody else was to cross. His sons with him had a service that nobody else was to cross. Even before that, was God particular? When he said, I'm going to send manna to you, and they had been so hungry. We're used to, and it says now, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. You need to be setting back some things. Seemed like that was the thing to do when they had been without, and now there's manna on the ground. Stock it up. Except for one thing. God said, don't stock it up. Because you just take what you need for today, because tomorrow I'm going to send what you need for tomorrow. Do what I tell you. Because if you decide not to, and you choose to take on a whole lot more than what you need for today, you'll find it'll be spoiled in the morning anyhow. Obey me. And then he said, okay, and I've got one more thing for you. The Sabbath is coming, and you can't work on the Sabbath. So on that sixth day, I want you to go ahead now. This one day, you can do different than all the others. You go ahead and collect for 2 days, because tomorrow there'll be nothing. Instead, there were people that just, I'll just take for today because it's been here 6 days. It'll be here tomorrow. And tomorrow there was nothing. There was people that decided, you know what, on these days when I was supposed to take it only enough for one day, I'll take enough for more, and it was spoiled. God was trying to teach them obedience. Do it exactly like I say. Out of that whole group of the children of Israel, it tells us there was one man that was found gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Folks, we could say, big deal. What is wrong with that? Because God had a law. Don't do certain things on this day. And I look back now and I start to understand. If one had done it and nothing happened, tomorrow there's going to be two that'll do it. Next Sabbath day. If one can take up a whole lot more and it doesn't spoil on this day, tell you what, tomorrow there'll be more. And after a while, what God saw and wanted to give to his people about the importance back then of the Sabbath day, it would have been desecrated. People would on the Sabbath day be doing whatever they wanted to do. So we come to a time, as we heard this morning about the tabernacle and the reverence that was to be. Because it said, if someone besides Aaron and his sons should go into the holy place. There were several times that we see this said, lest they die. It wasn't just, well, it's not a good thing to do. I wish you wouldn't do it. No, you won't do it. You'll be dead. I thought about Aaron's sons. These are the ones that have been given a special place. But it says that they offered strange fire. They didn't do it the way God said do it. And God struck them, said fire came out and devoured Aaron, the high priest's sons, while they're ministering at this tabernacle. And at the same time, Aaron is there when his two sons are devoured. And Moses told him, Aaron, don't grieve. Don't uncover your head or you'll die too. Don't sympathize with this or you'll be a partaker of it. You know what, folks, in this free age that we live in, when everything is acceptable, that's hard to comprehend that this is the God that they serve. You know what? This is the God that we serve today also. I would like for you sometime, we won't go through it all today, sometime I want to ask you to read the fourth chapter of the book of Numbers. I would like to take a look at it, just some little pieces of it today, because this gives us a picture of the God that we're dealing with. The children of the Levites, they each had a job to do, and it was given to them by God Himself. And in the fourth chapter, he talks about the Kohathites. That was a group of the Levites. And it tells what their responsibility is to be, because you remember we hear about Aaron is the only one. There are certain people that can go into that most holy place, lest ye die. But wait a minute. This thing is movable. It has to travel. You ever move sometime and you're in a hurry and you say, look, let's get it on the other end without being broken, and that's all I ask for. Pile it in the box. Just don't get the box heavier than what you can pick up, and that's what we need. Let's load it up and go. God wouldn't let that be done with the tabernacle. Because there's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And he did not want his people to become familiar with that most holy place. He wanted them to have a reverence and realize this is where God dwells right here. And if I cross the lines, I'm going to die. It's not going to be just, hey, you shouldn't have done that. I'm going to die for it. It says in here, in the fourth chapter, the Kohathites. This is in the fourth verse. This is going to be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. They are going to be responsible for moving the most holy things. So does that say, okay, the priest can do it at other times? We heard this morning about one time a year could the priest even go into this area to offer sacrifices. But you know what? It's got to be moved more often than that. So there's an allowance made. And it says, here's what's going to happen. The Kohathites are going to move it, but it's a dangerous thing. It says when in the fifth verse, when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. Then on top of that, in the sixth verse, cover it with badger skins. Then on top of that, spread it with a cloth holy of blue and put the staves in it. Each of these things, we're so familiar with having freedoms that we say, okay, we're just needing to get it moved. God says, here's how you move it, and you can be safe about it. The Kohathites are going to move it, but they don't go in there until Aaron has covered it. And then all these other things that are in that most holy place, it says you get it covered. And then it says in the 15th verse, when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering, everything is covered now in there. After that, the sons of the Kohath shall come to bear it. They shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. If you have touched it, you touch it when it's not covered, and you're going to die, the Kohathites. And then it says in the 18th verse, don't cut off the tribe of the family of the Kohathites from among the Levites. Well, how are you going to do that? Here's how it would happen. But thus do unto them that they may live and not die. When they approach the most holy things, let Aaron and his sons go in and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden. Look at the 20th verse. They shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. Don't even stand at the door and look at this area. You'll die if you do it. Folks, we're living in 2016, where God is a God of love. God is the same God as we're dealing with right here. You remember that same ark? When Eli, there's a battle coming now with the Philistines, and Eli's sons go into this most holy place, and they say, this is where God dwells. If we can take this ark with us, we lost the battle today. But I tell you what, if we can take this ark with us into the battle, we'll win because God will be with us. Folks, the things that we are used to that God will be in, he will not be in unless I obey him. Because the next day, you remember, they lost the battle that day. The Philistines had whipped them. They went in and got the ark, and they brought it into the camp of the children of Israel. The children of Israel are so used to, if this ark is around, God is here. And they started cheering. The Philistines said, wait a minute, what would they be so happy about if we whipped them today? And then somebody told them, I'll tell you what, they just brought the ark into their camp. Did the Philistines say, ha, I don't care, we'll whip them anyhow? The Philistines had a respect for God. They said to their own people, you better fight like you've never fought before then because of what they have done. Just because the ark was there did not mean God's presence would be there, nor was it. And the Philistines did something that should have never been able to be done. They took the ark. They won the battle. You remember when they took the ark and they said, we're going to set it up in right next to Dagon, our God. Because this is the God that we serve, and this is the God that they serve. We'll set them up together. Folks, we may not have God with us, but God will always be greater than the gods of this world. You remember the next morning they go in to worship their God, and their God is laying down in front of the ark. And they think, well, just got a little problem here. We'll just stand him back up. Came back the next day and it wasn't worth standing up. It was all broken up. And they started getting a fear on them. And they said, you know, we need to move this ark. People started getting sick. We're sending this thing to another city. This is the God that we still serve today. He demands respect and reverence. So we're sending it to another city, the Philistines. And when it got to that city, the Philistines started getting sick. And they said, hey, get it out of here, send it to the third city. And the third city heard about it and said, don't even start it coming this way. So they put it on a cart, and they hooked some cows to it. Cows that had calves that would normally stay at home. I'll circle right around and come back to where my calves are. They hooked to the cows. They said they started toward Israel, bellowing all the way. And they crossed over into the land of Israel. And there were Israelites that had a respect for the ark. There were some that should have had a respect for the ark. The ark is not in this place now where I have the respect for it. And you know, I've often wondered what was inside it. Here it comes on a cart. This is my opportunity. Beth Shemesh, the town where it came. It tells us in that 1 Samuel 6 and 19... that they took the ark, they set it there, and people started filing by to take a look at it. Because we've never been able to see this before. It was in the most holy place. The scripture says, that day, 50,000 men died because of what they had done. They were so glad that the ark had come back again, but they didn't have the reverence for it that God had said to have. That ark is kept for a while, and now we want to move it to Jerusalem. You remember the story? They built a brand new cart for it. We're going to take it to Jerusalem. We're so happy now. And Uzzah reached out to steady it, and he died. Wait a minute. There's a chance the ark could have fallen off the cart. And Uzzah just tried to support it, and he died. Why is that? Folks, God's got a way that he demands that we live. And that way had been overridden. Way back there, there was just one little piece of a sentence. Put the staves in the ark and let the Levites carry it. God didn't say, well, you know what? That was hundreds of years ago and they probably forgot about it. I'm going to overlook it. No, he was bringing back that reverence. And those people had a reverence for God when they saw Uzzah, with all his good intentions, die from touching the ark. They went back and they put the staves in it, like God had said to do at the beginning, and God honored it then. Those things all happen in the Old Testament. But I want to tell you, there were some times in the New Testament where God demanded to be reverenced. I think about with two people that decided, I'm going to sell the things that I have, Ananias and Sapphira. Who will know when I give my things anyhow? Folks, it is so easy in this time that we're living in. They that measure themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not going to be wise for me to measure my reverence for God against the reverence that everyone else in this world has. Because a lot of the churches of this world have lost the reverence of God. And if I measure by them, I can be far from the standard of obedience that God requires for me and think I'm doing well. Ananias and Sapphira stepped over into an area that they should never have stepped into, thinking, if I can just swing it by this one person. You remember he said, you didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost. We heard this morning that when Jesus died, the veil that separated this most holy place was rent in two. An opportunity now for me, for you, to go into that most holy place. Folks, I want to tell you, I need to approach it with the same reverence that God required back then. I'd like for us to take a look at a verse in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Because God has not changed. But there are some things that have changed. 16th verse of the 3rd chapter, 1 Corinthians says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Where did it dwell before? In this most holy place. Only the priest could enter that most holy place. This says, don't you know that you're the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's go to another verse in the 6th chapter. And in the 19th verse, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Today, we don't have this. When Jesus died, that veil was rent in twain. I have the opportunity to approach God. Folks, I need to approach him with the same reverence that they approached him with. Even when all around me it seems like God will accept anything. God will accept me in this most holy place with sin in my life. It won't happen. 1 Peter in the 1st chapter. We're still dealing with the same God as they were dealing with. He wants our reverence. In the 1st chapter and in the 15th verse, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons will judge according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. O soul, be afraid we're in the presence of God. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. If God today still did his business the way he did back then, there would be a reverence for God, because everyone would die that did not have that reverence. You remember when Ananias and Sapphira died that day at the chapel? It says great fear came on everybody. And it said, and of that number durst no man join himself. There was no adding to the church just after that. There was too much of a fear of God on their hearts. We need the fear of God. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. The hearts of the Son of Man is set in them to do evil. We see it around us. And we see people that will stand in the face of God. I remember as a child hearing on the radio an atheist woman come on to a college, Madeline O'Hara, at a college telling the young people there, I'm going to prove to you tonight there is no God. And she said, I ask him to strike me down dead right here, right now, if there's a God. And I listened on the radio and I thought, Lord, here's your opportunity. You can cause a lot of students to have a fear of God on their heart right now. And she gave a silence. There was a silence. I kind of expected to hear a big old boom and a crash and people fearing God. But no, she came back on. She said, I told you there's no God. He didn't do anything to me. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed the same day, the hearts of the sons of men and her heart was fully set in her to do evil. She is the one that pushed that prayer be stopped in schools. Looks like evil is just running away with it. But I want to tell you, the time came, the judgment came to Madeline O'Hara. It wasn't the Christian people that said we're going to have to put her to death. Her own people that did not believe there's a God. Folks, when you don't believe there's a God, then you're not going to honor the Ten Commandments that he gave. So it really doesn't matter about killing or killing her. For money, they killed her. And I look at her, and I look at this verse. Folks, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, don't feel like nothing's going to come from it. To the righteous people, live on. Keep on being careful. Because though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, I know one thing, it's going to be well for them that fear God. For myself today, as we come into this chapel, when I come into the chapel and I've looked back and as the Lord has been giving me this, I have to say, I come up short. Because we understand this is just a place for us to worship. But it's also a place that I come into the presence of God. And it is so easy for me to walk through those doors thinking about what I've got to do tomorrow. What I'm going to do next week, next year. What's going to happen at work the next day. And I've just come into the presence of God. When Queen Esther approached her husband with so much fear because she could lose her life, I need to have a deep respect for the things of God. In our song service, we're not just singing to others. We have come together to praise the Lord. And how often, because I've heard the songs for years and years, I can sing them and make the mistake of calling the same song in about 3 songs because I wasn't even paying attention. I need to have the fear of God on my heart. We have the opportunity to pray. Song says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I want to tell you, if I'm not careful, I can become casual about it. The opportunity that the God of heaven gives me to stop him and talk to him. And I can pray a little bit and find out my mind has wandered off to something else. One day, we're going to each one stand before the great God of heaven. We don't know what day that will be. This is the time for me to have the reverence for God like I should. To not be affected by the world around me. those that say there is no God, don't let it affect you. Because the Word of God says, wait, there's coming a day when every knee is going to bow. It's going to happen. We're going to stand before the great God of heaven. There is a song I'd like for us to close with. Song number 404. Because you know what? Judgment is being passed today. We just don't see people dying physically from it. Eve, when she transgressed, the minute she transgressed, she did not die physically. But a death occurred. There are deaths occurring spiritually today. And people still naming the name of Christ. I'm still just as saved as you are. There's a verse that tells us, if I build again the things that I once destroyed in my life, if throughout my life there was something that the Lord dealt with me about and I understood it to be from the Lord and I said, Lord, I give this to you. If I build again those things that I once destroyed, to this God that I need to reverence, I make myself a transgressor. This song, number 404, it's hard for us to imagine that this applies to 2016. God is sweeping through the nations with an awful searching eye. Every spot of imperfection must be purged, or my hope of heaven is going to die. It says, to preserve her pure and spotless, he must make a sacrifice. Give to evil spirits supper, all who give to sin a place. God is coming. And judgment is not going to be just to wait until he comes. Judgment is being pronounced today. To America, judgment is being pronounced today. And he still holds out a hand of mercy today. Folks, mercy has been extended to us. That's what is different today than was in the Old Testament. To the man that picked up sticks, he died for it. To the ones that would do certain things, he said, don't do it, lest you die. Today you can do it and you keep on breathing. And that's more dangerous probably for all those around than to watch them die. Because we continue on. We don't see anything happening when evil is going on around us. So, I need to be afraid. As a Christian, I need to have a fear of God on my heart. I want to do it right. I want to please you with my life. I do not want to be casual about the holy things that you have provided for me. When I have an opportunity to pray, I want to realize I'm in front of the great God of heaven. The God of heaven that created Queen Esther's husband, and he was able to put someone to death should he choose. God can do the same thing. God in my life has had so much mercy on me. Folks, he's merciful. There is a day his mercy will run out. And at that time it will be his judgment. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. To hear that, I'm going to have a serious reverence and godly fear on my heart. I desire your prayers. Maybe we can sing that number 404.